Welcome to the Wheels in Motion podcast. Over the next series of episodes, our sales managers, John Willman and Ted Boley, will be discussing the advantages of the shared milk run. Happy listening.
Hello and welcome to the Wheels in Motion podcast presented on behalf of Carter Logistics. My name is John Willman. With me is one of my colleagues from Carter's sales team, Ted Boley. Over the next several episodes, Ted and I are going to have open conversations about Carter's shared milk run model and talk about different supply chain challenges the model is designed to address. Ted, are you ready?
I'm ready and willing.
Awesome. Appreciate you joining me. I thought a good place to start when talking about the benefits of the shared model is trailer utilization. And maybe asking the question, what is the optimal number of trailers for a customer's inbound material flow? To address this initial question, you need to have a clear understanding of customer demand. Ted, what are you seeing in the market these days when it comes to demand?
Demand has been changing from day to day. There's some customers that are 140% production. There's other customers that are 70% production. And there's other customers that are even less than that. For our tier one and tier two suppliers for OEM, they have multiple customers that have this varying different percentage of production demand. And it's a constant battle that they're trying to address on a daily basis. One being it's not consistent. Second is, the employees with the COVID still going on. There's, employees that are off. The COVID with employees not being able to show up, they're not able to meet their demands of their customer, so they're having to make adaptations during that time and seeing what they can do.
Sounds like you had a real labor issue there, Ted.
Yes. That obviously is across the board, not just here in the United States, Mexico, China, Canada, all across the board.
So labor impacts demand. What else impacts the demand?
The sales. You can see the sales have been drastically reduced, and forecasts are showing that we won't recover to the sales volumes we were before pre-COVID to maybe 2025.
So from the carrier perspective, you've got this inconsistent demand, you've got the labor impact. Is that information getting fed to us as a 3PL or not?
Yes and no. Optimal situation, we would have the forecasts that were concrete forecasts that we'd have at least two weeks out. With the changes going on, the changes are happening with the tier ones and tier twos probably a day or two before the pickups are to happen. So with the OEM customers, again, they're just looking at sales and trying to do production for themselves. So those ones we probably have the 2 week out plan. With the tier one and tier twos, it's up and down, and we're constantly working with them to fill the voids that may happen during that production cycle.
So the key word you said in most of that is the word plan. How strong are we at crafting a plan based on this kind of sporadic detail that we're getting?
We've been a little bit proactive, especially during this COVID. We were having meetings that were happening with our customers monthly have now become weekly. Some of them even two times a week to make sure that we're keeping up with their schedules, to making sure that their inventory levels are accurate, making sure their inventory levels are enough for production, and to make sure their finished goods are out. I mean, we've even helped some of the tier one, tier two customers get finished goods to their customers so that because of production issues that they've had.
So you're talking about a really collaborative model here then, between the demands that they're facing, feeding that information to us, and then us planning accordingly. Again, it's kind of chaotic and sporadic and more or less the current state. What does the future look like once we get out of the COVID crisis that we're in and beyond?
I wish I had a crystal ball. I think we all wish we had a crystal ball.
Good point.
To anticipate that. But I think there's going to be some volume downturn with this uptick in the COVID cases here in the United States. But for the most part, during this brief time in the July, August, September timeframe, we've kind of seen production go up to like 140%. So with that being said, with the COVID going on, the drivers, just like the production people are having problems with the labor people, our drivers have had issues where, you know, we've had 50 drivers that have had to take early retirement just because they didn't want to be out on the road with what was going on, the unpredictable nature of what's going to happen, you know, out on the road with it, you know, being at the truck stops and so on and so forth, and visiting multiple facilities. The chances of them getting the COVID virus was a lot more than, you know, an office worker per se. So a lot of the drivers have taken some early retirement, and it's caused the rates and availability of trucks to go through the roof.
Interesting. So we talked about trailer utilization. Let's talk about variation in the supply chain. I suspect customers who aren't accustomed to a shared model similar to ours would typically look to a full truckload to do direct shipments with one supplier, or multiple stop full truckloads, more or less a dedicated milk run, and the remaining mix consisting of less than truckload and small pack shipments. Ted, how do you measure whether these modes are optimized, and why is this so critical during chaotic times we are currently experiencing?
Well, John, that's a good question. It's one that a lot of customers ask. You know, unless you're out on the dock when that freight arrives, you really don't know if those dedicated milk runs or the truckloads are fully efficient, either weight or cube. LTL, you really don't have to worry about being cube or weight driven unless you're trying to optimize the cost per pound based on each shipment. So unless you have the eyes and, I guess, the ears out on the dock, seeing when those truckloads are coming in and seeing those, either if it's dedicated or if it's a shared milk run, you won't see that cube utilization. What we do is we have a team of logistics analysts that are geared towards this. They're constantly measuring cube, both the inbound and outbound cube. So if someone's in returnable containers, we know, you know, how much cube and weight is out on the outbound piece, and when it comes in on the inbound, how much freight that is. In a perfect world, it should be a one-for-one. But with the frequencies, the demand up and down, you know, we're kind of juggling that right now. But we're constantly monitoring that cube and that weight utilization. And that's where we make our recommendations on route changes on a weekly basis.
So you've got a visualization standpoint where you're actually on the dock recording it, and then you've got the analyst involvement as well in terms of recording it, talking about current trends and building for the plan for the future. Fair?
That's correct, yes.
So let's talk about the flexibility of the dedicated model. Is it user-friendly in terms of trailer utilization? What happens when your trailer loads exceed trailer capacity? In other words, maybe more than a trailer, or well beneath trailer capacity, maybe 50% of a trailer. What kind of flexibility do you have with a dedicated model?
On a dedicated model, you have four options. You can reduce frequency, but then that adds inventory. And that's probably the most frequent knee-jerk reaction someone would want to do on a less demand option.
Sure.
Second one would be you would consolidate your dedicated routes. Maybe you have five routes running on a milk run basis. Maybe you wanted to reduce that down to four or three.
Right.
With that, you have the issues of now you have to rearrange window times, making sure the suppliers are open, even though the suppliers are probably having issues with keeping up with demand. You got to make sure that the hours of service the truck can accommodate those extra stops. And, you know, it's going to delay the delivery to your dock. How is that going to affect your inventory and your production?
Absolutely.
Third thing you could do is maybe you just add a stop to a route. But again, you're still trying to coordinate window times. You're trying to make sure that you don't blow out the truck. You know, if your dedicated milk run has a mix of different customers on it, and then one customer is doing 140%, another customer is doing down 30%, are you going to blow out that truck with adding that stop? And is that stop affected by either one of those customers? Fourth thing is, you just do nothing at all. doing nothing at all, just let the trucks run as they do, whether they're efficient or not. But then your cost to sales is going to go up. So sure. Your logistics cost. Usually, you know, there's a percentage that's benchmark for a cost of logistics to sales. And, you know, if your sales are down and your logistics costs stay the same, then, you know, that cost goes up. Your cost per shipment goes up. Your cost per pound goes up. A lot of people don't measure that on a truckload basis. But, you know, if a truck is running at, you know, 90% efficient, and then your production changes and it goes down to 60%, you might be paying the same bill, the same price, but your cost per piece goes up dramatically.
So it becomes a question of value. You don't realize the value for the dollars you're spending.
Correct.
Excellent. Excellent. So you come into this crisis, you think you've got all your ducks in a row, the plans are all set, and then COVID hits. And so you're kind of back at square one as far as a plan. I guess, do you plan on having too many trucks to try to cover this increase? Or does it make sense to start at a best guesstimate and then build from there?
Well,
I'm talking about in terms of number of trucks, Ted. Sorry.
I'm not a betting man. I think what I would do is I want to be safe. So I'm going to have too many trucks if all I have is what I have. You know, I only know what I know in my world. So I think I would go with too many trucks and then dwindle that down. In the market that we're in right now with trucks, the price, the availability of trucks has gone to, there is no availability. The prices have skyrocketed. I've seen prices quoted for lanes coming out of California for over $7,000. So, you know, I got to be cautious when I eliminate a route or eliminate a truck that maybe I don't have that availability to get that price again, and now my cost has gone up. So those are things that I'm considering in a dedicated model.
Right.
You know, a shared milk run model, we have our team that are constantly analyzing that, and we have the fluctuations of all the customers that were, and it's ebb and flow.
Ted, that's an excellent segue, and that's what I wanted to touch on next is, you know, we really focused on the dedicated capacity at this point. You know, how does the current model provide that additional flexibility you might need to flex upward or downward based on this change in demand?
In a day, we might have 200 routes coming out of a consolidation center in and out. You know, leaving out in the morning, coming back the same day, later in the evening. In those routes, we have, you know, say we have 6 trucks going up to the Grand Rapids, Michigan area. So we encounter, say, too much freight to pick up for those 6 trucks. Now we have another truck that might be running in the central Michigan area that has availability that we could pick up, say, the overflow that may happen, to 2 or 3 skids or 4 or 5 skids to get to our cross dock. And on top of that, say there is an overflow, you know, instead of having to take it directly to the plant, we can always take it to our closest cross dock. So the abnormal expense is lessened by having to do that.
So does LTL come into play? A lot of what we talk about in terms of a shared model. Talk a little bit about the difference between an LTL conventional model and maybe the shared model, and can one support the other in any way?
Let's say I've got a dedicated route and my production's down 70%, so now I'm 30% capacity. Probably doesn't make sense to run that truck anymore, a dedicated milk run. So I have an option of moving to LTL. When I had that dedicated milk run, I had a transit time, I had fixed window times, and I knew when that freight was going to arrive. If I go to an LTL model, that's going to go through different cross docks, consolidations, so on and so forth. Right. So my transit time is probably going to be increased.
Yes.
So it's like a domino effect. My transit time increases, my inventory increases, now my production gets affected, now my output to my customer gets affected. So I have to take all those things in consideration. Second thing, where we're at today with the driver shortage, truck shortage, the availability. The LTL companies only have so many hours to make all these pickups. If this is a pickup that's not on their normal route, there's chances are that a driver might not be able to get to that location, or he might fill up and so on and so forth. So whereas if you have a dedicated route, you know that this is going to pick up, and if it overflows or whatever the case may be, it's going to happen. You just got to deal with it. On the LTL, you won't know until perhaps it's being too late. LTL is a great mode, but in today's environment, in automotive, we've seen some issues where, you know, freight didn't get picked up because, you know, the supplier had to close. They only run one shift, not run 2 shifts anymore. And LTL needs that second shift to be able to get in there and pick up.
That's right. Excellent.
So it's been a constant battle in that. And I guess, does that answer your question?
Absolutely, John? Okay. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, that's in a nutshell, that's what I have to say on that.
Great. And you've talked a lot about the expense of transportation and adding frequency, reducing frequency, what that does to your expense. You hit a little bit on your last comment about inventory. Talk a little bit about that in terms of how each moat can impact your inventory.
We always call it the soft costs, costs that aren't really hitting the financials you can see right away by an invoice. So, you know, if you move modes and you change your inventory levels, now your cost of inventory goes up. Your cost of space that you're needed inside your facility, if you're available to have the space available to store that material, and then you have an issue of obsolescence. Now, maybe not in a week's worth of time, but if you're bringing in something that's very infrequent, things like that, there could be times where you get in a bad batch of parts. So now you've got a month's worth of parts that are all bad and they're not in spec. So now what do you do? And so now you're expediting from the supplier. You're not able to get in the everyday environment. So those are some of the soft costs that we look at.
Sure.
You don't get an invoice for that, but it's there it's a driver that needs to be looked at all times. And then on one other thing maybe I need to touch on too is, you know, I mentioned earlier about the ER or the domino effect. Your ERP systems is what drives production. Obviously, your demand from your customers is what drives it, but you know that ERP is set up to adapt to that. Every little tweak that you make in your mode that affects transit time, window times, how much you've got coming in, going out, your ERP is going to have to be adjusted. And you know, getting IT involved, there's always going to be exception management. So not only do you have to take a consideration if I have enough space, but what's this going to do with my ERP? I have to adjust my releases now to my suppliers. Do my suppliers, can they meet that demand? So on and so forth. Because it's a domino effect. It's as soon as I change something, then it's going to affect my suppliers.
Excellent. All great points, Ted. Well done. I appreciate it. I'd like to kind of close this and finish up and talk about, you mentioned the analyst before. We've talked about a ton of different variables here today. Most people we talk to today are transportation departments of one person. What about the manpower involved in terms of trying to juggle all these balls, basically, and the importance of having a good analyst team to support some of these individuals?
Being a one-man show and managing all this, you know, in times of normalcy, is probably doable, no issues. But with the up and downs that we're currently having, it takes a team. I've got to call suppliers to make sure that they have enough inventory to pick up. Maybe they're not going to short ship. Maybe they're going from a two-shift operation to a one-shift operation. Maybe there's issues with their inputs that they're getting. Say they're getting raw steel in from another country, and now that's been delayed. So now I have to manage all this on top of making sure that my costs are in line. So it can be very hectic, and you know, I might not. Being that one person, my forte might be this, and not a negotiator per se, mm-hmm. or so on and so forth. We have a team here at Carter that we have specialists that deal in each one of those areas of transportation, whether it be negotiation, whether
insurance.
Insurance. That's a good point. You just brought up insurance. Insurance here lately has been a major cost driver. In fact, I have some friends that are in the insurance industry, and it's not just the commercial lines. It's also the personal lines that are going up. And whether it be because the market didn't do as well as it did, whether it be there's more claims now or so on and so forth, it is what it is. And it's something that it's out of our control. So we have to deal with it. So, you know, things like that, our team is dealing with that internally, and we have experts in each one of those fields that are trying to bring the most value to our customers.
Ted, this has been fantastic. I really appreciate the time. I hope our listeners are going to get a lot of value out of this conversation. This is our first topic we're going to address. Here within the next several weeks, we'll be covering several others. So, again, well done. I appreciate it. Thanks to you all for listening.
And, John, thanks for having me. And we're going to keep this rolling. And hopefully, it'll all get better.
Thanks for listening to the Wheels in Motion podcast. If you have an idea for an upcoming podcast, please send your ideas to marketing@carter-express.com. Until next time.